Are you tired of listening to German language all day long?
Don't you just want to get your news and topics presented in English, even though you live in Germany?
Then here's your solution.
Yeah! Elephant in the Room, an English radio show where we discuss things that people tend to ignore.
Tune in on Color Radio on 99.3 and 98.4. Every second and fourth Monday of the month.
Elephant in the Room, a radio show by the Black Rose Radio Collective from Dresden.
Hate Mondays. Be organized. Stay cool.
And welcome at the Color Radio with the next hour in English with Elephant in the Room. Right, today we are going to explode your mind with the topic of Immobilien, which is in English, I completely forgot.
Real estate.
Real estate, exactly, real estate. So we are going to talk about real estate in Germany, we are going to talk about real estate in the world. Why we are all suffering from these people who are called landlords and what we are going to do with them. Some advices and some really bad advices from our side. But we will start with some general introduction and off we go.
Or with some music.
Or with some music. Okay, we just start with some music and then there will be a general introduction. That means don't try to switch your radio to another wave.
Cualquier precio. Si rompemos las máquinas, no es porque queramos defender el empleo, sino atacar la esclavitud. Si nosotros atacamos a la jodida policía, no es para hacerla salir de los barrios, sino para hacerla salir de nuestra vida. El espectáculo ha querido vernos temibles. Nosotros sabemos que somos peores. Levanto mi mano como si fuera una pistola, porque cualquier día de estos cojo una y traigo cola. Tenemos el valor y la convicción y el alma cansada. Tenemos la rush como Kenny Arcana. Calle es nuestra, no tenemos techo ni para dormir ni para estar de fiesta. No queréis que os echen a las 12 de las salas. Formad bandas, ocupad casas, hagamos de ellas espacios para conspirar contra lo que nos oprime. Busquemos caminos para derribar las leyes que nos reprimen. Que en el Estado español se tortura no es ninguna tontería. Joder, ok, me cago en la policía. Lo sé, es típico pero cierto, más la unión hace la fuerza. Somos miles en las calles, explotados de dentro y de fuera. Podríamos cambiar nuestra vida y nuestro entorno. Es más, juntos somos más, es más, juntos somos la revuelta. De nosotros, miran por nuestro interés, se creen que somos estúpidos, bastardos asquerosos. Un día nos hartamos y mandamos todo a tomar viento. Que trabaje el señor Aceves cavando zanjas en el desierto. Lo siento, disiento y no miento, diciendo que en esto del político apesto, suspesto el aumento del gesto. Me siento en mi puesto y abono mi tiesto chupando del resto, pero presiento que cientos de piestos dispuestos acabaremos con estos molestos. Y será en la calle que todo estalle, que nadie calle, que griten los maricones, la puta, los rojos, los ilegales, los precarios, los sin techo, sin derechos, los don nadie, que griten como nunca han gritado los marginales. Creamos todo y nuestra lucha es corazón, ¡pow! Que el puño en alto significa rebelión, ¡pow! Que si gritamos para saber que estamos vivos, ¡pow! Si grito fuerte es por ti, por mí, por vos.
And we're back with the radio. So, as we already heard, today we want to talk about the housing crisis in the verge of rents skyrocketing in all major European cities, but I could say like in all cities all over the world. Actually, in the last year, there's a top three of rent increases in the city of Berlin, followed by Barcelona and Brussels. So only in the last 10 months from end of 2018 to now, there's been an increase in the average rent of 7% in Berlin, 6.5% in Barcelona, and about 5% in Brussels. So an increase in only 1 year. And I guess when you look at the continuities over the last decades, those numbers are even more shocking. For instance, in Munich, the average rent has risen by 68% within the last 12 years. So, yeah, I guess it's not so super differentiate this kind of average rent because it doesn't really give a range of the possible rents within the city where there are super, super expensive flats and then also flats which are not so expensive. And so these values are always only an average. So even if you have flats empty, it might not be that normal people can afford living there. And this whole increase of rents is also now coming to cities where it hasn't been so super present in the last decades. And I guess one of these cities is Dresden, where I think people have always thought that they live quite cheaply. And but after all, in the last 20 years, there's also been an increase by 40%. And well, I guess in general, I mean, there has been heaps going on around the whole housing subject and people organizing against it. So I think it's not super new that results of those rents and housing prices going up are poorer people being replaced in the outskirts of cities or, yeah, not even having an affordable place to stay at all. I think also another result is that communities are kind of dissolving. Like people move all the time. There's not real neighborhood anymore. But also you could say that in this verge of crisis, maybe people also come together and organize together, which might also be an interesting result. But I guess in general, which is also a massive problem, is that housing is more and more in the hands of private companies and private companies deciding over the fate of people. And I mean, living in housing is a basic right for people. We all have to live. And yeah, it's super scary that, for instance, a company like Vonovia in Dresden owns a major part of the flats and houses and has a huge key position in the whole housing market. And we want to hear some more about Vonovia now.
Yeah. And Vonovia, which can be found all around the city in the smaller offices, is actually the biggest real estate company in Germany. It appeared on the market, I think, in 2016 or 2017 from a merge of smaller companies. And in general, it owns right now 400,000 houses in ownership, which is three times more than the next company behind it. That makes it like, you know, the giant on the market, basically, that plays, well, really rarely by the rules of the market and in general gives little shit about the people who are living in their flats, unless they are rich. And most probably, if you're rich, you're not renting the flat from Vonovia. You're going to own your own flat. I was living in the flat of Vonovia myself as well, and the general rule was to ignore Vonovia as far as it possible. Well, we were doing that because we were part of this kind of a bigger organization that actually protects the rights of the people who are renting the flats in Germany, and they were also recommending, I mean, don't communicate with those people and so on and so forth, and they were super annoying. Luckily, I moved out. And now I have to pay even more money somehow because, well, Neustadt got even more expensive through this rent rises. But we have a person in the studio who still lives in Vonovia flat, and he didn't move out from this miserable life.
I protest.
Or he got inside. Yeah, like he was not a fucking coward like us and just moved to the more expensive place. Right. So, and we wanted to know, how's it going to live in Vonovia flat for you?
Yeah, it's going, the living is going like it has always been. So it's no change for me, but in the last years, in the first years I was living in the flat, it was when it was not yet belonging to Vonovia. There was kind of a silent agreement between the landlords and us. So we don't bug you with little problems we have. We fix it ourselves, and you don't try to get on our nerves with enforcing rules which we are not keen on, whatever. And that for quite a long time it was an easy living, but now they are trying to educate us in many, many ways, and that sucks. And so it's not only that they, of course, they wanted to raise the rent for the flat without doing anything. Our roof is, there's dripping water through it, and they never repaired it in a proper manner. So it kind of sucks. And now, and we helped ourselves with placing some bowls on the attic and to catch the water before it flows in our flats.
and then you can use it and you don't have to pay for it. Isn't yeah. that amazing?
Great, yeah. The so-called Objektbetreuerin, so it's not a house or not housing, it's an object for use by customers or whatever. So the language already tells the how things are connected from their point of view. So now they, for example, they saw the bowls on the floor at the attic and said, oh, there's lots of crap standing around here. If you don't remove it by yourself until I think it was last Friday, we will come and remove everything not belonging here. And that is everything, because the attic has to be cleared of everything. It's not for use by you. And then if you don't move your stuff out, we will take care of it and you will have to pay for it. So that's one of the little annoyances. Or, they don't invest anything, but what is happening is that they, want to be sure that nobody can say, I broke my leg because the stairs were in bad in bad condition. And so at some steps there was a what is a Fußbodenbelag, there was some or the stairs have been covered by
new materials,
some better looking, better than plain stone looking material, and it made little waves, and you perhaps somebody could have stolpered, could have fallen over it. And so instead of fixing the little pieces which were out of order, they ripped everything out of it, and now it looks like shit. And but the danger is away, and we can live securely now.
Awesome.
That's really sweet. I think they're doing their best.
And as I heard before, you already had quite a history of writing love letters with Vonovia. How did that go? And what was the course?
Yes, love letters which have been moderated by German courts. So it was the course was that they wanted to increase the rent and said just simply... In Germany, you have to somehow tell the reason why you increase the rent. And they said, basically this, they said, okay, rents are rising everywhere. And so we adapt to the market situation. And now you have to adapt also because we all live in the same market. I didn't accept that, and so they took me to Gericht, to the court, and they lost in two instances, and now I'm still living quite cheap in comparison to all the neighbors, I guess, and that's fine.
All right. So it was not like a collective action of the neighbors who said we're not going to do that, rather than.
It was the court thing was mine because simply I was the first one being dragged to court by them. But we talk with each other a lot, and we know what's going on in the house. And it was clear, or the others offered me, hey, if you need some support or if it costs you a lot of money, we will give you also. And so it was not, I didn't feel alone, but it was kind of random who is first being verklagt, being dragged to court, and all benefited of this action because afterwards they just the others being confronted also with the request for paying higher rent, they denied and said, you don't want to lose another time your case, and so we all have won in this case.
Okay, that's cool. And I think that could be like a message to everybody who is sitting right now in Germany and gets these letters, that you can fight it back eventually.
Yeah, it depends on the reasoning in the letters, because the position of people not owning the flats has changed to the worse in the last years. It has been better in 30 years ago.
You mean in GDR?
No, that was a completely other case. But yeah. But there have been a few changes in Bundesrepublican law also, which are not in favor of people who are not owning flats.
But did any of the two of you also experience this fake additional costs, which appear to be a lot in Vonovia? yeah, like also rent increases. Like I read this article about it, that like a certain percentage of those heating and electrical costs and the facility manager, like there are posts which are just simply made up, and they kind of expect that not a lot of people will sue them. And the people that sue them obviously get a reduced additional costs, but a major part of the people will not do it. Did you experience any of that?
Those so-called Nebenkosten, which aren't the rent in itself, but are the more variable things like disposing of waste and like the cost for water and so on, they rose a lot in the last, decades, and it has to do. And it's not too easy to check whether it's right or not, because they simply in the Vonovia has started to have all the necessary jobs done by their own sub companies, so not contractors from outside like it has been before, but now they are writing their invoices in the between their own companies, and though it's not easy to check whether that's right, and for them it's easy to generate more income on this side of this.
Yeah, and I don't remember that happening, actually. Like, they were trying to raise the rent several times, many times, which they didn't manage to do that. So they just got some communication with the lawyers, and that's it. End of story. But with the scandal that you're addressing, this was, I think, 2018, where there were like, I think, hundreds and thousands of people who were affected by this fake races that Vonovia was doing. They lost to the court, also in 2018, and they had to pay a fine. But the interesting thing about this fine was that they didn't have to pay back the money that they got from the people through the scheme. They actually had to pay money to the German state. So they were fined by the German state. German state took some money. And it seems like, you know, at least for me, you know, like a deal on the street. You do some shit, you pay the guy who is on the street, you know, taking care, who is like the mobster. And then you can keep on doing the same scheme. Because Vonovia is getting caught on these dodgy schemes constantly. And it's not like they're getting banned and they're saying, okay, you have to give away your flats for this and that violations to the people or whatever. They're just paying out and they're making so much money that they can keep on paying to the state.
Yes, and they don't adapt their policies to be more lawful in any way, but they simply, it's a question of mathematics, how many people of living in Vonovia flats are in the mood to complain at the court or something, and it's just a very little fraction. So it pays for Vonovia not to play by the rules.
Exactly. Yeah. And the interesting thing, talking further about Vonovia and the danger that it poses, it is actually expanding. So if you read right now, like just go to the internet, write Vonovia, go to the section of news in your search engine, and you will find that most of the stuff that is written right now on Vonovia in the different news agencies is actually invest in Vonovia. Vonovia is doing really great. It's one of the greatest real estate companies in Europe. And they are expanding. They bought the company, the smaller company in Sweden. They bought also a smaller real estate company in Austria. So they are actually exporting the same tactics to the other countries. And they are going to get bigger and bigger. And we all know the story of the Mein Fernbus, right? And the Flixbus story, which is a little bit simplified version of it. But eventually the risks are really huge that that Vonovia will be dominating market, not only in Germany, but also in the other countries, because of their strategy of basically like buying out companies which already have like a huge portfolio of houses.
And by in that way also avoiding the taxes usually involved in change of ownership with land and houses, and because they don't sell and buy the houses, but the companies who own the houses, they avoid a lot of taxes, which they usually should have to pay.
Exactly. So eventually, thanks a lot for your comments. I think we all agree with a really simple message here, and the message will be like, fuck Vonovia and fuck the real estate companies that are making our life fucking miserable.
I'm called for dialogue. I'm gathering attention for dialogue, which is what you do in the struggle for power.
Yeah. Thank you very much for supporting another Power Struggle project. I'm in your hands until the end. We've lost some friends and lost their sense. Let's not forget the time we spent. A perfect blend of blood and sweat. I'm in your hands until the end. We lost some friends and lost their sense. Let's not forget the time we spent. A perfect blend. Now that struggle and I never had trouble identifying who was lying out their lips. I don't trip when y'all fall for the same old shit, cause I know propaganda got them whipped like a pimp on the strip. As I sit and I ponder how to make a dollar, how to raise a family and drink clean water. Last record that I wrote probably just broke, even though the concept was a meaning, sacrificing for the children. I'm an immigrant man with immigrant hands, trying to organize workers and the plowers of land. Gunpowder goes bam, like my brother from L.A. Filipinos got flows, I don't care what you tell me. Bullet sign of this rap shit, reciting verbatim. Stories of struggles, streets in the cages. They locked up my friend for her political worth. Now the petty things don't matter, like selling CDs and shirts. And what's your verse worth? Shit talking the truth, most rappers are lies. Gun clappers in boots, I'd rather pass flyers for a rally than show. Skin brown as the earth, hair black as a crow. Flow like the past, I rip it congested and dirty. I stay with the masses, so the people are worried. Don't live in a hurry, soak up every moment. Love our woman Josephina, good life, she deserves it. People are murdered for pieces of bread. Pythons politicking, kill the programs are fed. Poor kids in the hood, from Detroit to Davao, from D-boys to B-boys, crowds just wanna sigh out. Rhyming like a Marxist, talking about marches. Chilling with my barber, whose father was a farmer. Living like an artist, who's grinding with the people. Pretentious young hipsters, are hypocrites and evil. Singing like a seagull as the needle hit the edge of a record that we made, that made very little bread. But the music is redemption, reflection of the life. Collection of stories through these Filipino eyes. Rise, bangong, bagong bayan. Contradictions high, so we must heighten. Rise, bangong, bagong bayan. Contradictions high, so we must heighten. I'm in your hands until the end. We've lost some friends and lost their sense. Let's not forget the time we spent. A perfect blend of blood and sweat. I'm in your hands until the end. We lost some friends and lost their sense. Let's not forget the time we spent. A perfect blend of blood and sweat. We out. Power struggle, one love. In your hands. Big ups to Fat Gums, E.T., Digital Martyrs, Rachel Lastimosa, Dirty Boots, Esther. My name is Norby, and it's all in your hands.
Okay, welcome back in the Color Radio with Elephant in the Room. And we are talking today about the renting crisis in the world, or in the Europe as it is, or in the Western Europe. We were talking a little bit about Vonovia and what kind of an asshole company it is, with a friend of ours who is living in one of the flats of Vonovia. But let's go a little bit further and let's talk a little bit about Germany, what is going on here. It was already mentioned that Berlin is in the top of the one of the most expensive cities in the world, with, well, not the most expensive, but with one of the highest raising rents in the world right now. People there are actually organizing. There are some interesting statistics that are happening, that are giving in Germany. By 2018, we had here over 678,000 people who were homeless, with two-thirds of them actually were made up from refugees. And parallel to that, the people we have, like 700,000 people who don't have flats. There are over 2 million flats that are standing empty right now in Germany and are waiting for the people to move in, or they are a speculative housing, or they are just standing empty because somebody is lazy to actually give a space for the other people to move in. And how does it work with, you know, moving in Germany? There are a lot of steps that can actually prevent you from getting a flat. Bigger companies are right now requiring, for example, the portfolio from, how's it called? There are these companies which are checking out your background on the banking credits, the credit score, Schufa, and many others. Actually, some other companies are giving even better overview. Those are costing money, so it's not something like you're getting for free and you're bringing to the company that is giving away the flat. Rather than you have to pay for that, and only then you pass it to the landlords. This is one of the things. So people who are actually at the bottom of the society, who might have taken credits or are in the legal some legal fights over some financial troubles, they are most probably will get some negative reviews from this credit scores, and this is making a renting quite a complicated issue, actually. So if you got a credit and you couldn't pay it at a certain point, this is going to make your life extremely complicated. Apart from that, there are also a lot of expectations towards your racial purity from a certain landlord. Bigger companies saying that they are not actually discriminating over racial issues, but at the same time we can see that a lot of property is not rented out to the refugees, a lot of property is not rented out to the migrants. The people who are having troubles, for example, speaking German, will have troubles finding the landlords who will be actually eager to speak with them English or any other language apart from German, because for a lot of landlords, this is Germany, and in Germany you speak German. And the European identity is kind of really easily forgotten. Right, and what is happening afterwards? You moved in, for many people it might be surprising that actually for the smaller reparations, the renters are paying by themselves. So if you get a leaking pipe, and the leaking pipe costs less than, I think, 150 euro or something like that, then you have to pay for yourself. The interesting thing is that a lot of people read in the German laws that this is not supposed to be happening, but there is a loophole that allows the landlords to put actually financial responsibility for running the flats on the shoulders of the renters. That means that paying a rent for the flat doesn't include any reparations that are connected with, you know, usage of the flat. And this is another interesting thing. If the landlord decides that it's time for your house to be renovated, that means an extreme increase in the rent. So renovation is not associated with the normal procedure or normal running of the flat or the house. It is associated with increase of, how would you say, well-being, or increase in your, you're going up on the social, value, but at the same time, there is a philosophical approach towards it, like more luxury living or whatever, which is, for me at least, coming from the Eastern Europe, is a really funny thing, because when I was paying a rent, this rent was going to someone who was already like counting, okay, I'm going to put half of this rent away to renovate that house. Right, and then the rent are not increasing because, you know, if you're living in a shithole, actually your rents are supposed to go down. So if the house, for me at least, right, if the house is not renovated for 30 years, it's not about your rents are staying at the same point. The rents are supposed to go down because the house is getting way worse in the condition situation. This is in Germany not the case. So that's what we were talking about in Vonovia, but also the smaller landlords. Everybody's renovating the houses in this strive to make more money out of the property. And you can see, for example, in Dresden, there are a lot of renovations going on in the posh quarters that are eventually the sign for those houses are going to be unacceptably expensive for the normal citizens. Right, and then you're kicked out. You know, you can't pay for the new flat, but there it's also not that easy. You actually have to, before moving out, renew your flat. So you have to paint the walls, do the holes and all the stuff. And if you don't do that, then they're not going to give you your money that you paid as a
deposit.
Right. So basically, like, at every step of this interaction with the landlord, you're screwed in one way or another. And this is, for many people actually coming outside of the Western Europe, might be a shocking attitude, you know, because eventually if you're renting the flat in Eastern Europe, if you're renting the flat in certain countries of Asia, it's kind of a, well, it's not such a big market. It's not about making profits, though it is, but not as a wild capitalist approach as we see in Germany right now. Right.
Γίνω κόσμος μια μεγάλη φυλακή. Κι εγώ ψάχνω έναν τρόπο τα δεσμά να σπάσω. Έχω ένα μέρος που με περιμένει εκεί. Σε μια πολύ ψηλή κορφή πρέπει να φτάσω. Γι' αυτά πλώνω ξανά πολύ ψηλά τα δυο μου χέρια. Για να κλέψω λίγο φως από τα λάμπερα αστέρια. Δεν αντέχω εδώ κάτω και κοντεύει να με πρίξει. Των ανθρώπων η μιζέρια τόσο όσο και θλίψη. Δεν αντέχω άλλο κι όλοι αυτοί δεν μου ταιριάξαν. Πήρα τ' άλλο μονοπάτι και όχι αυτό που μου χαράξαν. Ήταν δύσβατο σκληρό και με παγίδες πολλές. Αγάπες, κάρτες και φίλοι, φαρμάκερες. Είχε τέρατα με παράξενες στολές που παραμονεύαν πάντοτε κρυφά μες στις σκιές. Μη κοντοσταθείς, απρόκειται να ακολουθήσεις. Τα δόντια σφίξε γερά και μη δακρύσεις. Εγώ το πήγα και το έφτασα στο τέρμα. Και όπως γράφουν στα βιβλία οι παλιοί σοφοί, όταν θα φτάσει ο ήλιος στο τελευταίο γέρμα, θα βάλουνε φωτιά από ψηλά οι αετοί. Για σους με πρόδωσαν με πίσω μαχαιριές. Θέλω να ξέρουν ότι και για αυτές τις αγάπες τις παλιές θέλω να ξέρουν ότι σιγάνε κάψου. Κι όσοι μ' αφήλησαν με πυρήνα μα θέλω να ξέρουν ότι σιγάνε πόλητο. Να δούνε να με βρουν στην κόρυφη ψηλά τους περιμένω και σιγάνε πόλητο. Μου είπα να μην κάνω όνειρα τρελά, να μην τολμήσω να κοιτάξω τα αστέρια. Μα εγώ ποτέ μου δεν τους πήρα σοβαρά. Πήρα τον κόσμο ολοκληρώ στα δυο μου χέρια. Θέλουνε τώρα να μου φτιάξουν μια θωριά που έχει πάνω της το φόβο την ασχήμια. Και ένα κλάμα γοερό και μια λυσίδα βαριά. Κουβαλάει την κατάρα των θεών και την πλαστήμια. Δεν θα δακρύσω μα δεν και θα φοβηθώ. Δεν θα αφήσω να μου κλέψουν τα όνειρά μου ελευθερά ψηλά. Πολύ ψηλά πετώ. Κι όλοι ζηλεύουν τα περήφανα κι αδές με τα φτερά μου. Και περιμένω κι άλλα αδέρφια για να βγουν σ' αυτή την κορυφή που όλους περιμένει αρκεί. Να μην δακρύσουν και να μην φοβηθούν σ' αυτήν την έξυπνη απάτη την καλωστημένη. Για σους με πρόδωσαν με πίσω μαχαιριές. Θέλω να ξέρουν ότι σιγάνε κάψου. Και για αυτές τις αγάπες τις παλιές θέλω να ξέρουν ότι σιγάνε κάψου. Κι όσοι μ' αφήλησαν με πυρήνα θεσμά θέλω να ξέρουν ότι σιγάνε πόλητο. Να δούνε να με βρουν στην κορυφή ψηλά τους περιμένω και για σους με πρόδωσαν με πίσω μαχαιριές. Θέλω να ξέρουν ότι σιγάνε κάψου. Και για αυτές τις αγάπες τις παλιές θέλω να ξέρουν ότι σιγάνε κάψου. Κι όσοι μ' αφήλησαν με πυρήνα θεσμά θέλω να ξέρουν ότι σιγάνε πόλητο. Να βγουνε να με βρουν στην κορυφή ψηλά τους περιμένω και
So we've been talking about the housing struggle for the last 40 minutes. And which is quite cool is that apart from companies being shit and making a lot of money on people's backs, there's also quite a lot of resistance against it going on. And I can quite surely say that in several European cities over the past decades there has been numerous and really colorful protests, and also like often a mixture in between people which maybe usually don't do so much together within a city, which I guess is quite a quite a really basic form of activism, like around the whole area where you live, how you live, get in contact to people, talk about those things and yeah, kind of organize together. So we've been seeing migrant communities involved in those struggles, poorer people, also activists. And I think quite present for last year was the Herbst der Besetzungen in Berlin, where several houses were squatted in order to scandalize the vacancy of a lot of houses in Berlin. And what is quite cool for us, also in Dresden, where there hasn't been a lot of squatting going on in the recent years, there was a lot going on in this way in the summer. And one of those houses being squatted is at Bastiplatz 3, where on the 24th of August, after a big demonstration, the house was squatted by some people who also wanted to scandalize that like a big house is being empty and rotting in the neighborhood for several years. Like in an area where social space for people and also living space is rare. And I think what was quite interesting is that there was contact to the owner, Roman Lerch, which is the owner of Castello AG, which owns the house. And he talked to the people and kind of said, yeah, we can find a solution and we can somehow work out a plan that you can use the house until I make this cool project with it, which like was bullshit because nothing has really happened. And the only thing the people heard from him was a lawsuit of about 10,000 euro worth of property destruction, which quite clearly was caused by the police entering the house during the raid. And to show solidarity to the people squatting, but also to scandalize those private-orientated companies who just want to make profit. There's going to be a demo. And luckily for you, it's tomorrow. So you hear this news about it in time. You can go there tomorrow at the 12th of November at 4 p.m. at Bastiplatz 3 in Dresden. And it would be super cool if everyone is wearing animal outfits. I know it's quite a thing to come with an animal outfit to the demo, but I think it's going to be quite funny. Another thing which is also happening in Dresden was that there are evictions happening. And last week on the 6th of November, there was a case of a person being evicted in like a collective housing unit from the WGJ, which owns flats in Dresden-Johannstadt collectively. There was a call for action from the local Recht auf Stadt group. And about 50 people followed this call, which is quite amazing, at 8 a.m. on the Wednesday during the week. And they were blocking the entrances of the house. During the start of the moving company going in, the police insisted or forced them back off so that they can enter the flat. So they, actually couldn't prevent the eviction happening, but really clearly showed that it's going to be harder to just evict people out of the blue. And there's going to be protest about it, which I think it's really cool for Dresden, because in the past there hasn't been so much going on in this whole context of solidarity with people being evicted. So I guess that's something which can be really cool for the whole housing struggle in Dresden.
Shut up the bullet, we'll go twice, right?
what world from Slovenia. Right. So we are talking about housing market and the problems that are existing on it. And one of the things that is happening is, of course, gentrification. That makes all of us really unhappy because we are putting a lot of efforts into developing our community. And then some rich kids are coming and are consuming what we are actually building through generations. The interesting report came out recently that actually connects not such a favorite, but a service called Airbnb with gentrification. I think for some of you it was obvious, and for me somehow it was always associated with that, actually taking a look at where the places are situated and what people are staying at those Airbnb housings. But there are always proofs required, so there was actually a research done that produced a report that Airbnb has restricted New York's numbers of long rental long-term rentals, led to increased median rent throughout the city and promoted gentrification. The report, titled The High Cost of Short-Term Rentals in New York City, is authored by a research group from the McGill University School of Urban Planning, but funded by the politically influential Hotel Workers Union, according to Politico. The report found that in the study period of September 2014 through August 2017, so for 3 years, Airbnb has potentially removed between 7,000 and 13,500 units of housing from New York long-term rental market, putting extra pressure on the city already squeezed for housing. Of those 13,500, the report found that 12,200 entire house units, as opposed to, say, a room, were frequently rented in the last year of the study. In the study, frequently rented is defined as housing units available for 120 days and occupied for half of those days. That, researcher David Vetschmus found, means the unit may also all have been removed from the long-term rental market. At minimum, they are at high risk of being removed from the housing market. Airbnb rebutes this claim, stating that the study methodology is flawed because it relies on nights that home is listed for rent, rather than nights it is actually rented. The study claims that the typical listing in New York is rented for just 47 nights, which is well below what Airbnb found to be the break-even point of 172 nights for it to make sense for an apartment to be taken off the long-term rental market. The McGill University report also claims that by taking some housing offline and increasing demand for long-term rentals, Airbnb has directly led to an increase in the city median rent. Researchers at McGill found that over the period of the study, the median rent has increased 1.4% owing to a diminished housing supply, bringing median rent up to $380. In some Manhattan neighborhoods, the Airbnb operations increased the rent as much as $700. On the topic of gentrification, the study found that nearly 75% of the population in neighborhoods at the highest risk of Airbnb-induced gentrification across the city are predominantly non-white. The report goes on to say that white neighborhoods make systematically more money from Airbnb than non-white neighborhoods, and that traditionally non-white neighborhoods like Bed-Stuy and Harlem are the city's fastest growing neighborhoods for Airbnb. That finding backs up the March 2017 report by Inside Airbnb, a watchdog of the short-term stay site, that claims white hosts is predominantly black neighborhoods earn significantly more than black hosts. Inside Airbnb's study also found that the neighborhood with the biggest disparity between the percentage of white hosts in comparison to its white population is Stuyvesant Heights, where 75% of hosts are white, but just 7.4% of neighborhood residents are white. And unfortunately, we don't have statistics for Germany, but I had a quick look, you know, just on Dresden Neustadt, and there you can find at least 60 posh flats that are rented out for the Airbnb, and for Dresden, there are over like hundreds and hundreds of flats that were taken away from the market for this. They say it's, I mean, you can see the exact number, but it's 300 plus, so it's like over 500 for sure. which is actually affecting the market quite heavily as well. So the people are stop renting the people and the other people flats for the longer period and just making money out of the tourists or the people who are coming for work or whatever. And this is really driving crazy the market. Right.
Well, but still, I guess it's also crucial to divide this kind of how many days during the year the flat is rented, because like the very basic concept of it, like people sharing their flat when they're not away, I think it makes super sense, right? Like, I don't know, if you work in another city and you're just there for the weekend, I mean, it doesn't really make sense to have two flats. So I think this concept, I mean, it's a collective concept, but it's like in the hands of a private company, which kind of abuses the concept, I guess, or it's like their model of business. But in the end, I think there's still people going to the Airbnb platform to privately accommodate other people.
Yeah, when their flat would be empty. This is actually rare. Right now, what is happening is that the platform is used by the investment, you know, companies and people who are trying to pour the money into some kind of investment business that are buying flats or buying houses and then putting them on Airbnb as the money-making machines. So if you look at the Airbnb, there are really limited amount of hosts. I don't remember the statistics, but the numbers are lower than 20 that own like 90% of all the things that are happening on the Airbnb. And if you look at the Airbnb flats or rentals or whatever, you can see that most of the people who are renting the things are not actually like, you know, the locals who are renting the flats for like 1-2 weeks that when they are not there and they're on vacation, rather than the people who have 3, 4, 5 flats in the different parts of the world and they are making money out of that. So the platform is actually transformed from this kind of a community thing that is going to help each other long ago into the basically like a market for the short term rentals that is extremely corrupt and extremely, I mean, it's apart from this whole market, you know, induced renting, it's also full of scams and people are, you know, daily actually losing hundreds and hundreds of euros on some people who don't own the flat, but they rent it out and then they don't pay it. But talking about the housing crisis, the Airbnb is actually affecting it quite heavily because it is one of the platforms where you can easily rent out the flat for those who are partying around and want to go to Dresden. And it makes it way easier than it was before, where you would go to some websites would have like 5 houses and then you would go to another website and so on and so forth. So it changed the dynamic as well.
Have you seen OS?
Sorry?
OS. You seen it?
No, I haven't.
No. You seen OS?
No.
Have you seen OS? Have you seen OS? You seen OS? You seen OS? You seen OS? You seen our ass?
Yeah, it's over there, mate.
Over there?
Yeah. Stand there.
Thank you.
Saying in her sleep, brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around. Our house, it has a crowd. There's always something happening and it's usually quite loud. Our mum, she's so house proud. Nothing ever slows her down and a mess is not allowed. Gets up late for work.
mother has to iron his shirt. Then she sends the kids to school, sees them off with a small kiss. She's the one they're going to miss in lots of ways.
Simply waste a day away, then we'd say nothing would come between us. Two dreamers. Father wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around.
So that was Elephant in the Room with a topic of the housing crisis and also possibilities of resistance against it. Tomorrow there's the demo in Dresden at 4 p.m. at Bastheiplatz 3. Have a good week, be organized and stay cool.
House, that was where we used to sing.